I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. In the lead-up to the 2021 Canadian federal election, CJRU reached out to each candidate running in the Toronto Centre riding. Today, NDP candidate Brian Chang discusses his platform and why he wants to represent Toronto Centre.
My name is Brian Chang, B-R-I-A-N, last name C-H-A-N-G, Chang, and I am the NDP candidate for Toronto Centre, and my pronouns are he, him.
Great. And can you tell me a little bit about yourself, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work at SEIU Healthcare as a research associate, so it's my job to help prepare, bargain, and negotiate contracts for 60,000 healthcare workers that SEIU represents right across the province of Ontario, and that includes PSWs in long-term care homes, RPNs in hospitals, and in nursing homes, and a variety of community health clinics right across the province.
Great. And how did you first get into politics?
There are many different ways. So for me, let's break it up into little pieces across throughout my lifetime. As a child, it was really joining teachers in strike when my carers was cutting education programs in the late 90s. So it was joining teachers on strike, and my father was a public servant, and seeing him on strike and people I loved have their work devalued by the government really taught me a strong message about the importance of public services and collective action. In my teenage years, it was about working on the environment. So I did a lot of volunteering with Greenpeace. It was also when I started to come out and I started getting involved with a program called Queer Asian Youth at Asian Community Aid Services. So it was getting involved with what we now call STBBI, which is sexually transmitted bloodborne infections, education and prevention. But back then we called it STD and STI, education and prevention, as well as supports for ethno-specific outreach to Asian kids, basically for how to navigate the complexities of gender and sexuality from a place of similar experience with people who look like me. And then as an adult, in my mid-20s, I really realized that I kept looking for old people older than me to step up and do the work. And then I was realizing a bunch of people who were working on Olivia Chow's campaign in 2015, we were all quite taken aback at how white and how male and how rich Canadian politics really looked like. And it still does to this day. And we had a conversation and I realized, unless I was willing to step up and be that person who's going to fight back against this system and try to create and take up space as a queer disabled Chinese Jamaican man, that I couldn't expect other people to do that work. So it's very important for me to take up space and to demonstrate to others that they too can take up space. And I want other people to join with me and the NDP and really fight for the world that we want to see. And not just, it's not inevitable that rich white men become the elected officials in our country. And we need to push back against that as hard as we can.
Mm-hmm. I know this is your second time running in Toronto Centre. Why do you want to represent Toronto Centre?
This is my third time running in Toronto Centre.
Oh, third time, my apologies.
It's my home riding. I live at Yonge and College. I'm deeply committed to the area, and that was true before I ran for office in the first place, and it will be true after this election as well, too. I don't just show up during elections. And I'll give you an example of that. Earlier this year, along with Kristen Wong Tam and MPP Suze Morrison and the community, we were able to fight for the Foundry site, which is at just along Eastern Avenue in Corktown, part of our riding. And it was heritage buildings that were going to be demolished by Doug Ford and sold for an undisclosed amount to his developer buddies using a very obscure ministerial zoning order called an MZO. And the community fought back because we want to make sure that there is A, protection for heritage, and B, affordable housing consultation with the local communities to ensure there's cohesion and buy-in for different projects, and not this just unilateral approach of the conservatives to kind of sell any public asset they possibly can. That's an example of where an election wasn't really on the horizon at all. It was just the community was like, we should work on this. And I stepped up and helped support that. Over that time, over the pandemic, we've seen income inequality and people struggling with food security. And I've stepped up to help. So earlier this year, there was the creation and consolidation of a few programs in the St. Lawrence Market area. So right meets Toronto Centre on the south part of my riding and the north part of Spadina-Fort York. And it was really Chris Glover and I and a bunch of community agencies and one called Spadina-Fort York Community Care. And it was in, we put together and worked on doing things like getting seniors signed up for vaccination, seniors who don't have computers, who don't have email addresses, and who weren't on Twitter on Vax Hunters, and didn't know how to find access information related to that. It was about helping them supplement their meager food budgets. And these are people who basically their entire pensions were going to the cost of rent, right? So there was almost nothing left over for them in terms of being able to afford food. And it was originally supposed to be just kind of a supplement program. And it's just expanded and expanded because the need is so great. And it was one of those areas where it might have been a temporary program at first, but then once it started and we realized just how the magnitude of the need, it's a permanent program now that we're constantly working to expand. And those are just two examples of just stuff in the last few months in which I stepped up to do the work, and I'll continue to fight for our communities.
So that's one thing I want to talk about is, you know, Toronto Centre, it's been a Liberal stronghold since 1993, but I guess of right now, why do you think voters want change?
The first 2 weeks of the election, people, and it's still coming up, but the people were very upset that there was an election called. And I don't think the Liberals have been very clear about why they forced this on us when there was no loss of confidence. And it was very willing to work with the Liberals on important issues. And I'll give you an example with the Canada Emergency Response Benefit. Liberals had originally introduced it at $1,000 and New Democrats fought for it to be $2,000. The Canada Wage Subsidy Student Benefit. There are so many policies in which we have worked with the Liberals, but they haven't been as forthcoming with other issues like the conversion practices ban. And then of course they called the election. So they hoisted this on everybody. I think they thought they would catch everybody off guard, but New Democrats have been ready. And we are resourced, we are engaged. Voters are looking for change. And here in Toronto Centre, that's really New Democrats that they can look to us and be like, yes, I've seen these people in action. We have the seat provincially. We have an excellent progressive city councillor. So it would be nice to get progressives at all three level who will actually, who come from the community and are committed to fighting for it.
Great. So right now, I just want to give you a bit of time to talk about your platform. I know I don't have too much time with you, but I'd like to talk more about like the focus on the following. So I guess residents, housing, and students.
Yeah, so very important for me is the discussions around affordable housing can kind of, every party talks about this. And I want people to think about that. Every party should talk about affordable housing, but the approaches are very different. And I think when it comes to that, to this major issue, being able to afford a home. And it's so fundamental because if you don't have a home, nothing else kind of really works. So we have to make sure there's a safe place for people to go home. New Democrats have a priority on housing, not on private home ownership. And you just have to take a look around X University right now. And you can just see everything that's being built is private condominiums. And they're condominiums that are being snapped up by multi-billion dollar corporations. And you and I and other students cannot compete. There's no way we can compete with these multi-billion dollar corporations when you're bidding for a unit or a place. And then many of these are being left vacant as well too. So there are so many different plans that we have in terms of implementing a foreign buyer's tax to de-incentivize the purchasing of these units by foreign companies from the US who are just snapping up billions and billions of dollars of housing and taking it off the market just to use as cash cows and investment cows. We're talking about making sure that we're building purpose-built rentals, buildings that are appropriate for many different types of families. We can't just build towers full of studios and one-bedroom apartments or one-bedroom apartments plus dens, right? Like we need to make sure that there's space for kids to grow into their homes, to have children in our communities, to have many different types of families, blended families, different types of roommates, situations in these types of housing. But that's not the focus right now of what the federal government will be doing. So I also want people to think about just that the Liberals have talked about this for a long time. And it's one of the reasons why I chose to run was because I'm not a homeowner, but the sheer cost of being able to afford a home nowadays is just so well and beyond what people would be able to do, especially without assistance from family or some other source of money. And And that isn't to say that I want to be a homeowner, but it's just that that should be an option that's not instantly closed to everyday Canadians simply because the cost of housing has skyrocketed. Over the course of the National Housing Strategy, which was started in 2017, it sounded nice that it was going to be exciting. Liberals had announced $70 billion in investment. We're going to build all over Canada. Fantastic. Except the budget that was released earlier this year by Chrystia Freeland makes it clear that they have only been able to spend $12.3 billion of that 70 over the course of the last 4 years. Liberals have been in power for six. And if in 4 years they can only spend, what, a seventh of what they have earmarked, I really have no faith that they'll be able to live up to their what we need in these communities. And we have to think in terms of affordable housing is something we should have started yesterday. But the best time to start is today, in the absence of starting yesterday. And that's because it just takes time before these units come on board. It will take time for the cooling effects of a foreign buyer's tax. New Democrats are also talking about making the systems for property ownership more transparent so we can see if like four floors of a building are owned by a multi-billion dollar corporation. It should be easier for us to know that, so that we can then say, okay, well, this is clearly a problem. What can we do to help get these units back on the market? We're talking about increasing the capital gains tax to 75%. And that's not a 75% tax. That just means 75% of the gains, the capital gains from the sale of anything other than a primary residence will be taxed at the appropriate tax rate. And of course, we want to make sure that where there is money laundering or where there's criminal activity or where there are people trying to hide their money in real estate, it's something sketchy is happening when people show up with a giant bags of cash and they're paying for a home with that, right? Like that's not normal. and there should be red flags that go up whenever something like that happens, but there aren't really any national standards for these things. So what I've described are a whole bunch of regime changes that that are all part of our affordable housing plan. And of course, key to that is making sure that we're actually building housing stock as well too, because we are having a supply issue where there's more demand than there is units available. But it's not just that, like we have to make sure that all of these programs I described are part of our approach to affordable housing. And within that is whether you're a student now or whether it's been 10 years since you graduated and you still have student debt, that our plans will help affordable housing no matter where you are along that pathway. And of course, student residences will be part of that as well too, because we need to make sure that there are affordable places that the students can get to, especially in a university like X University, which is in the heart of downtown. Housing is very, very difficult to find around X University right now. In terms of students, what we want to do is work towards making post-secondary education part of the public education system. And I'm committed to this. Back when I was on the UTSU at the University of Toronto, and I was also on the Graduate Students Association at York University, the cost of tuition and tuition fees are really a neoliberal market tool to help create profits within the system. And that shouldn't be the case. We must be making sure that education is a right and that people who are qualified and able to do so can access that education. We're all better off. The more educated our society is, I think the more better off we all are. That's something the Democrats are working towards. And I'll say something else in terms of research and science, because I think sometimes that can get a little lost in kind of the discussions that are ongoing in an election, because often science, research, and technology, these aren't discussions that are happening at the forefront. New Democrats are committed. So in 2017, the Fundamental Science Review was done by David Naylor. And David Naylor actually recommended this entire regime change to what we're talking about in terms of the way that the funding agencies for research in Canada are set up, to intellectual property protection, to making sure there's whistleblower protection. New Democrats are committed to implementing the recommendations of the Fundamental Fundamental Science Review, and then also making sure that we are creating conditions for the funding agencies to have enough money for it to be useful. And this ties into making sure that we have domestic production of biomedical products, including vaccines. We should be able to create these here in Canada. We should be able to do the research here in Canada. And there are great places that are doing that work at UBC, here in Montreal, here in Toronto as well too, but the manufacturing capacity isn't here. And there's no reason why government shouldn't step up. We should be able to create these things. Same thing with PPE. There should be the creation of manufacturing and capacity here in Canada and right here in the GTA to be able to create what we need. So there's so much more discussion to be had around the research regime. But know that New Democrats believe in evidence-based science, and we believe that society is better off when there is evidence-based science, and when we can make sure of government and core to the decision making we make as politicians is ensuring that we have robust regimes related to the kind of research that we need in social science, in engineering, in mathematics, in Indigenous traditional knowledge, and more, to make sure that we can make the best decisions possible. And that isn't to say that we don't have a lot of this information, but it means it's a lot harder for politicians to turn around and say they don't believe in the climate emergency, like the Conservatives are doing right now. So New Democrats are on the side of science and technology, and we will continue to fight for those things and support the intersections with post-secondary education where they align. In terms of the climate emergency, Jagmeet has been really clear about that there's so many different plans, and this is another one of those issues where every single party is talking about it, including the Conservatives. Where New Democrats differ is that we put justice really at the core of that discussion. That it's not just about a carbon tax, it's about climate justice. How do we help communities that are disproportionately affected by this, including Indigenous communities, including workers, including queer people, including women? How do we make sure that we're not disproportionately putting the weight of a just transition on different communities? And that means so many different things, from the way that we get around our city by electrifying and investing in public transit. And we want to make it fare free. Where municipalities are interested in working with us, we'll work with them to make public transit fare free. In terms of personal vehicles, we want to make sure that we want to build capacity for zero emission vehicles here in Canada, the production of them, but also to make sure that that is what is being sold on the Canadian market, away from fossil fuel vehicles. We want to make sure that we're talking about building retrofits. And this is so important because 30 to 40% of all carbon emissions in the entire country come from the heating and powering of our buildings, as well as just the passive loss from just really bad design or lack of insulation. And there's so many technological ways that we can do these retrofits in a way that supports these buildings to make them more comfortable, more environmentally sound. And that isn't to say that there's one standard. I was having this conversation with an interior designer just the other day, and the way that we prepare and support a heritage home to be redesigned so that it can maintains its heritage structure while as energy efficient as possible is really important. We're not just talking about knocking everything down and rebuilding it to be up to current standards. Some places it's just not feasible. But there is no reason why buildings being built today should not be net zero. We're also having large discussions about what does it look like when we stop incentivizing resource extraction in the work that Export Development Canada does as well too, because Canada and Canadian corporations abroad are also huge contributors to the climate emergency. And whether that extraction is happening in Ecuador or it's happening in any other country, if there's Canadian companies that are involved, we want to make sure that they're living up to domestic here Canadian standards, and they're not just getting away by moving their production elsewhere. So it's a comprehensive program that we're really working towards 50% reduction in carbon emissions in Canada by 2030, and we will work towards net zero by 2050. But we're so far off the mark, especially in terms of the fact that the Liberals have allowed greenhouse gas emissions in this country to increase year after year after year, and over the course of their mandate, that we are so far behind that we actually need to start these fundamental trajectories. Because if we start moving, for example, the sale of personal vehicles away from fossil fuel to zero emission vehicles, that's not something we'll allow to go backwards, right? Like, we're not suddenly going to take those zero emission vehicles off the market and say no more. We're going to take fossil fuel vehicles off the market and say no more. And it's because this is the climate issue isn't one of just economic tools. And I think this is where the liberals and the conservatives get a little bit lost, because they believe that this is purely an issue for the economic markets to fix, and that it is fundamentally a problem with our economic system that hasn't included the negative externalities of pollution. But for our New Democrats, what it is about is that we fundamentally set up a society that is so ingrained and so fundamentally related to fossil fuels that we have to get ourselves completely off of this reliance from single-use plastics that we use to carry goods around, pack our foods in, and grocery stores are full of plastic, to working towards an actual a ban on those things, to making sure that we are investing in regenerative soil and our agricultural solutions, working with Indigenous communities and the traditional knowledge they have. They are already amazing stewards of the communities and lands that they live on. We need to learn from them and give them the resources to be able to continue that work that they've been doing since time immemorial. And this is all part of what New Democrats are talking about in terms of the climate emergency, because we can't look at what the Liberals have proposed in 2015 and 2019 and believe that that is enough to get us to 2030 and the reductions that we need by then, because there is zero evidence of the Liberals being able to implement these plans in a meaningful way. And what they say on paper is very different than what they have done. And you just have to look at what they promised in 2015 and 2019 and what they're promising in 2021. And I guarantee you, probably if there's another election in the years ahead, you can look back at 2021 and see all of the missed targets as well too again. So I have no trust, and I don't believe Justin Trudeau or any of the Liberals when they talk about their commitment to the climate emergency, because as their purchase of the TMX pipeline has shown us, there is no fossil fuel project that Liberals that Liberals wouldn't support. And that is very different than New Democrats' approach.
That was Brian Chang, Toronto Centre's NDP candidate. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.